Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, April 28th, 2018, you are listening to the PW Torch Livecast Saturday edition, also known as The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am Rich Fan. We'll be talking with you this week about announcers, in particular favorite announcing moments, how they held history in terms of the voice they had in that unforgiving minute of wrestling, quotes you've heard over and over, quotes you've seen on Twitter that have been reappropriated for football games, and anything in between. But in order for us to do that, we have to talk to you. So make sure you give us a call. Air code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And this is one of four ideas one of our frequent callers and good dude, Kylan Furlow, had for us. And so without further ado, I will bring on the Master of Ceremonies for this episode. Kylan, welcome to the live cast, and thank you for diving.
You are very welcome, Rich. It is a pleasure to join you here today.
Excellent. And before we get started, why don't you give the folks an idea of what led you down the road to pick favorite announcers, favorite announcing moments as the subject for today's episode?
Well, as I think you know, but just in case most people do not know, I happen to really enjoy doing this show and was looking for subjects to pitch in to give myself more of a reason to be on, so I tried to look at some subjects I thought were not covered on other particular shows, be it through our site or through other sites, and this just so happened to be the second thing that popped into my head as a standalone subject.
Okay. Well, before we start with the actual announcing moments, I do want to talk a little bit. I wanted to pick your brain because I figured you would have watched it. The Greatest Royal Rumble. That happened yesterday. And during it, since we were talking about announcing, I had like an ear to it in between my son's play and some other things I had to do once I got back to work. But what were your thoughts on the quality of announcing? And then if you can open up to a deeper dive, what do you think of the current state of announcing in pro wrestling in 2018?
Wow. I will say I felt kind of sad for Titus O'Neil that his trip and fall underneath the ring will probably be a bigger moment in wrestling supercard history than it needed to be, considering the fact that Corey Graves and Michael Cole spent about 4.5 to 5 minutes openly laughing about it on commentary yesterday.
Now, do you feel, because I've listened to someone like a William Regal when he was on Talk Is Jericho and he talked about the important role an announcer can play in shaping a story, shaping a wrestler, giving them that next boost for a Titus O'Neil who's pretty much where he's going to be. Do you feel like it's that damning, or is it just more or less they could have handled it better or differently?
It's not it's not necessarily that damn. I feel like the way it was handled so utterly egregiously makes Titus look worse in the ring and worse as a human being per se, because now some people may think, oh, Titus is just a clumsy African-American oaf that Vince McMahon only has around to laugh at, when people who really know the humanitarian and man that Titus O'Neil is would know that even though he's not the best wrestler in the world, he can be portrayed a lot better than what he is.
That's fair. That's fair. And in terms of in general, we don't have to stay with WWE. Is there, what do you think about the 2018 announcers, like in whatever wrestling promotions you watch? And is there a pair or trio that you particularly enjoy listening to?
Well, in terms of 2018 announcers, I would have to say that the best announcing pair going today in terms of official two-man pairs, which most companies do not use anymore, unfortunately, would have to go to the team of Kevin Kelly and Don Callis for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Although my award for best individual announcer, which I'm going to call the Jim Ross Award, because I feel like in order for you to be considered as a best announcer, you have to measure up to JR. But my award for the Jim Ross Award for best announcer of the year so far would go to Mauro Ranallo for NXT.
And was there any particular call or show that you would recommend people watch?
Everything he's been on since he's been with WWE.
Okay. And so, as Kylan and I are talking, make sure you guys give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Or if the spirit moves, you can always shoot an email, pwtdive@gmail.com. Again, that's pwtdive@gmail.com. And when we come back, Kylan and I are going to start talking about some of the other awards he has, as well as any questions you may have sent in or any calls we may see as something that stands out. So please keep it tuned here and when we return to the deep dive.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday Edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Kylan and Rich. We are here this week talking about best announcers. Kylan's giving out his awards. And, of course, we're talking to you. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, Kylan, what other awards have you thought of to give out to some of these fine men and women who have been calling the plays the way they call it?
Well, my award for best color commentator goes to the aforementioned Don Callis for his extraordinary work in New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I will call the Bobby Heenan Award, since Bobby Heenan is pretty much universally recognized as the best color commentator in the history of televised professional wrestling.
Okay, and for Don, speak a little bit to the many hats he wears, because in addition to his role as commentator at New Japan, he's also doing a lot with Impact now. And well, how do you think that sort of varied job and the experiences he's had in his wrestling career makes for him being such a good sidekick, such a good Bobby Heenan Award winner?
What I think you're getting to here, Rich, is the Don Callis is deserving of this award because being that Don Callis has either wrestled for, announced for, or served in a management capacity for three different four different national promotions now, that gives Don Callis a distinction that most wrestlers cannot say that they have now, because he's been exposed to so many different styles of talent, considering that he was one of the last people in the modern territorial era of professional wrestling.
Do you feel he goes a little too much? Like, I know Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, or you have Gorilla and Bobby with the Will You Stop. Do you feel like Kevin Kelly pushes back enough for them to have a good tit-for-tat relationship?
At times, Don Callis can be a little bit too much in terms of insider references on New Japan's broadcast, but the way I look at things, and maybe this is because I have my own style of doing things, as many of you who have listened to this show probably know. But the way I look at things is everyone has to have something that makes them unique as a person. So I can understand how Don Callis can be a little bit infuriating to some people, but overall, I think he does his best to have a system of checks and balances in place so that he doesn't overly grade on you when you're listening to him.
That's fair. And what about the medium? Like, we've talked a lot about English speakers. Is there any specific, maybe international, either announcer or announcing style that speaks to you, or do you stick primarily to English? I just want to give the listeners who might not be familiar with you an idea of your background and what you like to watch and listen to.
I like to listen to mostly English because it's what I understand, but I listen to enough of Hugo Savinovich during WWE technical difficulties and various occurrences within WWE pay-per-views to know that him and his partner at that time, Carlos Cabrera, were decent announcers and could be very good if they were given material that was actually decent to work with.
Okay, and that's good. That's a good point. So, for me, I listen to, most people know, I listen to a lot of New Japan. When I was younger, definitely a little far more All Japan than I do now. So I'm used to international announcers. I'm a big fan of listening to primarily Japanese only, even though I don't speak the language. Some of the words over years have become familiar. Ippon Shobu Raimas, Raka Kawana, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so the first thing I thought of when you suggested this to me was when I started tape trading, I watched the match that made Misawa the ace of All Japan, where they, you know, screamed new hero in English. And so that was like very cool to kind of think back on and think about the effect of that moment and how announcing can really make a moment just last forever in your mind. Or, you know, everyone always thinks of Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, as Jim Ross is announcing the ascension of Steve Austin. What announcers or announcing moments stand out to you before we go into any more of your awards, if you have more?
Well, I only had the two, but I think as most people expected, since my first award was named after him, the first official best announcing moment that I would like to discuss with you today is one of Jim Ross's infamous announcing moments, which took place at King of the Ring in 1998 after Mick Foley was thrown off of the cell for the first time, where Jim Ross uttered the amazing words of, "Good God Almighty! Good God Almighty! It killed him!"
That's awesome. Yeah, that was a good one. And it just, it was just so interesting that at match, when you think about it in hindsight, that would never happen again. because there's too many things that were an inch one way or the other away from going horribly wrong. And I mean, look at Mick. When he's like, he killed him. And then the next time you see the, when he falls through the cage and you're just like, oh my God, like this dude. And then he gets up and he's bleeding and his tooth and, oh, it's just, yeah. And like I said, that one, yeah. You name a meme, you go on YouTube, you watch a football game, that broken in half line is getting used somewhere.
Yep. So, would you like to take a call now, or do we have to go to break, or what do we need to do?
Well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more of your favorite moments, some of my favorite moments, and then see what the community has to say. Hit us up, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And, of course, because we're trying to make sure we're economical with our time and we're giving you guys the quality you deserve, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you quality in terms of an opportunity to join in with a quality group in terms of shaving, and that's Harry's. I love Harry's because, like I said, it's Operation No Neck Beard for me. So I just watched the NFL draft for most of this weekend, and despite my team picking a player I really didn't want, I could get on the internet, I could take pictures with my wife and son yesterday. They are at our play, or I could go out and have dinner with my family after and not feel like a weirdo because I was clean shaven and looking great. And that's because I stay with Harry's. Harry stands behind the quality of their braids, but because they know switching razors is an easy decision, they always try to offer a free trial offer, so you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. Harry's founders were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They knew a great shave come down the great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. That's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. They guarantee if you don't love your shave, Harry's will, you let them know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. So you can get a $13 trial value that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, not too dissimilar from Mjolnir of Thor's lore. A five-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade. A rich lathering shave gel. And, of course, a travel blade cover because you don't want to get jacked up. For just the cost of shipping. Listeners of The Deep Dive can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/pwtorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. And like I said, when we come back, Kyla and I are going to talk a little bit more with you all about announcing, announcers, what we like, and of course what you like here on The Deep Dive.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich and Kylan. We are here talking announcers, announcing, and the fun things you guys want to talk about here. So make sure you hit us up, area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So Kylan, currently we do not have a caller. I think I'm having some issues with the board. But I do want to have you talk a little bit more about some of your favorite matches. So while I figure that out, why don't you tell us about your next top call?
Mine! My next top call is something that our senior columnist, Bruce Mitchell, is more than welcome to disagree with me on, because I know he probably will, and I actually look forward to hearing from him on this subject at a later date because he feels that this call ruined this particular match, and I don't believe so, but my next top call goes to Bobby Heenan for his infamous July 7th, 1996 call of, "It's Hulk Hogan, but whose side is he on?"
Now, do you feel like the "whose side was he on" ruined the moment? I know Bruce does, but do you feel that way?
No, and I do not feel that way because if you really take time to think about it, almost everybody that watched wrestling back then automatically expected Hulk Hogan to come out and help Randy Savage because for the previous 16 or 15 or so years, rather, Hulk had been the ultimate good guy, and although they were starting to become popular, internet wrestling websites obviously weren't as big as they are, and so most people didn't really know that Hulk had been begged to turn heel for a couple of months previously before the "whose side is he on" call.
Excellent, and I agree. I thought it was a situation where you look at the history of Bobby Heenan, and he always, even no matter how nice, how great, how heroic Hulk Hogan was, he would always say there was an ulterior motive behind it. And so it's akin to, if you read comics, J. Jonah Jameson finally catching Spider-Man commit a crime. He's been saying it for so long that when he actually does do it, you're kind of off put because you're like, well, I guess he's right. And I get where Bruce is coming from, but I thought it was so understated in the moment that it was okay. I didn't feel like, oh, he spoiled it.
Me either.
And I would say one of my favorite moments in announcing has always been the moment where, and I alluded to it, the Stone Cold after he won the title at WrestleMania, but I think the moment that sticks in my head that's crystallized is the end of the let me put it the right way. It wasn't the end of this person's era, but it was the end of them really being taken seriously, in my opinion. And that was the retirement of Ric Flair. So the announcing in the background as Shawn Michaels is going through with it. From that point, that entire year, the leading up to the fight with Triple H, all of the commentary had been treating Ric Flair as a horse that had like one leg left and just needs to go back out and get shot. And then a funny thing happened on the way up until, which will be a gripe, I'm sure, in a deep dive for another day, when Ric should have won the title in North Carolina against Triple H on Raw and instead lost. It should have been a situation where the whole year was Ric Flair building the momentum and then kind of falling short and having to deal with it. Instead, it became a situation where he kept challenging himself and Shawn Michaels had to put him out of his misery. Now, for me, that entire time, like I said, each week the stakes were higher and higher because if he lost, he was retired. And I know in hindsight, looking back, watching on the network, that was enthralling. It wasn't just a one-off. It was just continual tension. And I really liked the way they did that. What are your thoughts, Kyler?
That was a phenomenal angle from almost beginning to end with the way his opponents were selected from Mr. Kennedy and MVP all the way up to Shawn Michaels at the end.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I want to toss it to you one more time to see if you have any more of these fine gems of announcing before we go to our next break.
My third top call is just a two-word phrase that the Jim Ross's predecessor, the late great Gordon Solie, would utter anytime somebody couldn't execute a move or something illegal was happening in the ring. You would always hear Gordon Solie say the infamous words, ah-ah.
And was it the simplicity that really appealed to you, or what was it that...
Absolutely, because you knew once you heard Gordon Solie say, ah-ah, that something wasn't going to or wasn't supposed to happen.
Now, for me, I would say you nailed Mankind. You nailed that one there. I like the simplicity. For me, if it's going to be going back to high school days, I want to say it's the first time I saw a scaffold match between Tommy Dreamer and Primetime Brian Lee and heard Joey Styles scream, oh my God, because that's what I said at the same time. And that forever tied Joey Styles as a guy that I needed to listen to. And he was very interesting to me. And I know I wouldn't nominate him for your Jim Ross Award. No offense to him. I thought he was a quality announcer. But I thought his role during the Attitude Era of being the ECW lead announcer and solo announcer, the level of concentration to not only call the match, provide color, and create a character unto himself with the iconic, oh my God, I think that's something very few people have the chops to do. I can tell people from experience, I've done deep dives, I've done shows by myself, and while it isn't the hardest thing in the world to do, doing that while also trying to do 15 other things, that is a fool's errand. And somehow every week, Joey would get it right.
You're absolutely right on that one.
Now, what about ECW? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Kylan.
Joey Styles, for all of his idiosyncrasies and flaws and somewhat of character flaws that he has, in my opinion, is a very underrated announcer for all that he did manage to contribute during his 15 years on the national scene.
Thank you. And so, what is your next top announcing moment?
My next top announcing moment might surprise a lot of people because this guy has never particularly been the greatest announcer, but this individual moment makes him deserve a little bit more credit than he's given. And the moment I'm referring to is when Michael Cole exuberantly said, Mick Foley did it! Mick Foley did it! Foley has won the title! On January 4th, 1999, after Tony Schiavone so callously said going into a commercial break, don't bother watching the WWF show. I understand that Mick Foley is going to win their world title. That'll put a lot of butts in seats. So hearing Michael Cole excitedly say, Foley did it, Foley has won the title, I think gave people all the more reason to say, those WCW people are so mean and callous. I'm ashamed that I ever liked them.
That was very... I know he's mentioned it on his podcast and has been very regretful of that moment, but that was a very tough thing. And I know he says in hindsight it was just following orders, but that was a heck of a thing to do to somebody. And I really appreciate that you picked that moment, because I do think while he has been maligned now, and I also think it's part of the legend being followed by someone who's just very good. Because him having to take on the mantle of being the lead announcer for WWE after Jim Ross is akin to me having a Hall of Famer get replaced by a Pro Bowler if this was football. So if you had Brett Favre get replaced, not by Aaron Rodgers, because I think that was a seamless transition, but if you had Brett Favre get replaced by, I'm trying to think of a Pro Bowler that sticks out in my head, that would be like Tony Romo. If you had Brett Favre followed by Tony Romo and the Packers never win the Super Bowl again, but they do really, really well. Or I guess to keep it with the Cowboys, Troy Aikman followed by Tony Romo. Good luck with that, you know? So that's really good. And for me, I would say if we're going to do title changes, I would say the boyhood dream. That's always one of my brothers and I always love watching WrestleMania 12 Iron Man match. That boyhood dream is realized. Hearing him scream that over the announcing table as Shawn Michaels looks lovingly at the title kneeled in the middle of the ring, that's a moment that never will leave my brain. Up there with, again, another Shawn Michaels moment, WrestleMania 10, where you get the call from him leaping down from the top of the ladder to Razor Ramon. So I think those would be my favorites, and I think those would be my biggest moments I remember in terms of announcers. Did you have one more? Do you want to go to break? Because I do want to admit I am a little under the weather, so it probably will be a shorter deep dive than usual. I'm trying to use my mute button to hide the hacks and coughs, but my son has infected me with something that will probably turn me into a zombie in 2 days. So I'm making do.
We can go to break if you need to cough or do anything like that, because I don't want you to think I'm holding you hostage in terms of commercial breaks. So let's go to break while you get your physical health situation straightened out and come back for the next segment.
Perfect. So when we come back, Kylan and I are going to keep talking about announcers. We're going to take your calls. If you've called in, make sure you hit one on the Touchstone phone. Let us know you want to chat with us, and we'll chat with you. And when we come back, we'll have some fun here on The Deep Dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Kylan and Rich. I am Rich, he's Kylan. We're talking wrestler announcers. We're talking best wrestling moments, best announcers, best moments from those announcers. And, of course, if you're interested, we're talking to you. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, Kylan, Before we move on and talk about another moment or announcer that sticks out to you, I do want to take a little diversionary tactic and chat a little bit about the Greatest Royal Rumble, because I hadn't had a chance to discuss it outside of what we just did. What did you think? Pardon me. What did you think of Brock Lesnar retaining?
I thought it was a very interesting finish, and my immediate thought as soon as the show went off the air was that our colleague Travis Bryant was wrong on every single finish that he called for all of the major matches at the show.
Well, Travis being wrong is something I'm already used to, so that's definitely, you know, I look forward to calling him out on that. But I got to be honest, I thought this was going to be the coronation. I thought it was going to be something akin to, you know, the Saudis had paid good money for, you know, getting their WrestleMania moment at the Greatest Royal Rumble, which sounds dumb until you think about it. What were your thoughts overall on the show? Because I do want to pick your brain on that a little bit, too. Because I have some thoughts on some of the things that kind of happened as a result of the show, and I don't know if I'm going to have the time otherwise, so I'd like to have your opinion on it as well.
My thoughts were that it was just above what everybody thought it was going to be, because I think everybody kind of thought, oh, this is going to be a standard long and boring slog of a 5-hour specialty house show. But I think they did just enough to make it not that. It wasn't the greatest thing you'll ever see, but it wasn't the worst either. And the matches were very well wrestled, I thought, in my personal opinion.
And how did you feel about some of the moves that were made around the hosts? So what I mean by that is you have Sami Zayn being prevented from coming because of his Syrian descent. You have the ladies being prevented from coming because of the culture there. And I don't know if you're aware of this, an apology, but from the Ministry of Sport late last night, early this morning in the United States, because apparently Carmella was wearing a revealing outfit during an advertisement during the show, which was seen as, I guess, offensive, and was declared that they would never have to worry about that again in terms of such, I guess, lasciviousness.
My thoughts on that are that while I'm saddened the women were not allowed to compete or be in Saudi Arabia, I'm well aware of the politics of that country, so I knew that was probably an error on the part of the Saudi Arabian government. And my further thoughts on this issue is that, as Triple H kind of said in his interview, it is my hope that one day women competing in matches is taken with a greater degree of leniency, and that women are eventually allowed to compete, because women are being treated better in most cases here in America and in other countries. So it is high time that countries like Saudi Arabia and other countries that believe in their archaic, in my opinion, policies, abolish those policies.
I'm with you 100%, and I saw a lot of – it is the case. And, you know, we're the torch. I'm not trying to become the Dave Meltzer defense force, but I saw a lot of people jump down Dave Meltzer's throat on Twitter because he had put up there, imagine if someone tried to do a show with only all black people and how that would go over. And they're like, oh, this isn't the same thing. It is. If you think about going through Jim Crow, if you think about going through segregationist Southern wrestling promotions in the 50s and 60s, and you decide to not bring any of your black wrestlers, or if you go to South Africa during apartheid and not bring your black wrestlers, or if, you know, in the case of Finn Balor, oh my God, and you're not wearing your rainbow, and, you know, he had to couch it as laundry issue. But it's funny that it's a laundry issue where he can't wear his pride gear to Saudi Arabia. It's a travel issue, and Sami Zayn can't go, even though last time he could go, and the women can't come, even though when they played the advertisement that the ministry screamed about and apologized for, people cheered in the ring. Like, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. And while Triple H may want to say that they're using it as a foray into opening the borders of Saudi Arabia, you're not going to change thousands of years of culture or history by doing a cash grab. And I, for one, am appalled that they would think people are dumb enough, I guess maybe ignorant enough of world history and geography to figure things out, which is sad. And, you know, that also goes to show the other side of things too, which Travis and I talked about on the East Coast cast ad nauseum.
Well, my thinking, which I kind of laid out as to why I think WWE took this assumably exorbitant deal from the king or whatever prime minister of Saudi Arabia is that over these next 10 years, WWE is somewhat, or let me say, fully, probably, blindly assuming that politics within Saudi Arabia might be changing when they might have a rude awakening and be forced to have to continually realize that they're just being money to, as Bruce Mitchell so eloquently put it on the Bruce Mitchell audio show this week, pay lip service to change that will never in fact happen.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. You know, in time I'm hopeful with anything that things get better, but I also have to be realistic of the moment and that sometimes there's going to be people that are in that situation that are looking to profit and not necessarily evolve. You know, that's life. Before I collapse and get out of here with Sir Kylan, were there any other announcing moments or announcers you wanted to share with the audience?
There is one more that I wanted to share with the audience, and one of these last moments is on July 6, 1998, immediately after Goldberg was crowned the WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Bobby Heenan symbolically uttered the words, "Goldberg is the man," which was, in my opinion, supposed to signify this is a changing of the guard in WCW and not the same old Hulk Hogan, Sting, Ric Flair NWO promotion that you're used to, which obviously, for various political reasons, did not happen.
Now, that is, yeah, that's a darn good one. What were your thoughts on the commentary importance as it pertained to Goldberg? Like, how much do you think that made him the man, as Bobby called him?
Well, obviously, Rich, what I've learned in my 6.5 years here at the Torch, and what I've learned in nearly 16 years as a wrestling fan is, if you're told something enough times on announcing or in an interview listening to somebody say something, you're going to believe. And when you have announcers the level of Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan talking up Goldberg every week, combined with his mysterious character persona and the way he was instructed by Kevin Sullivan to never talk, and the way he had to have security forces knock on the door of his special locker room because anybody else was intimidated to even talk to him, that just added to the mystique of the Bill Goldberg character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, and I think that was a great way for us to kind of put a little spear into our review of the best announcers, best announcing moments, and the Kylan Furlough. I guess we'll have to turn this into yearly awards now, announcing awards. Before we get out of here, though, Kylan, do you want to give our listeners a preview of the next show that you want to do, or do you want to leave that as an air of mystery?
Oh, okay. Well, since you brought it up, and I happen to have already planned this out months in advance because you and I work in virtually the same way, the next time I'm on this show, we will be discussing the subject of wrestlers on TV shows and doing wrestler crossover appearances in various television series.
Ooh, so that'll probably be end of July, beginning of August.
Okay.
Perfect. So now for any of the folks who enjoyed this show, or if they're listening on demand and they're trying to figure out where they can find anything you've done, Kylan, besides the Torch, where would you like them to reach you?
Well, for those of you who would like to interact with me, you are welcome to send me a message on my official Facebook page and let me know that you enjoyed this show. And you are also more than welcome to reach out to senior members of the Torch staff to let them know that you would like them to use me more on other platforms of the site.
Excellent. Well, Sir Kylan, it's been a pleasure. I wish you nothing but a happy weekend, and I look forward to talking with you at some point, either on the East Coast Cast or next week on the Deep Dive.
I look forward to that as well, Rich. You feel better and have a great rest of your weekend, and say hello to Trey and the rest of your family for me.
I will. And you guys also have a wonderful rest of your weekends. It's been great talking with Kylan about these moments in history, these wrestlers, these commentators, and I had a ball. Hope you did too. Next week, I'm looking forward to that as well. I mean, I'm looking forward to all these. I enjoy doing this show. Next week is a part one of two, The Art of Wrestling. And I'm not talking about Colt Cabana's show. We're talking about the idea of how does a wrestling match get formed? What goes into a character? What goes into the craft as an observer and as a participant? So I'm going to have Ennis and Isaiah of CWF join me next week. And then 2 weeks after that, Zach Haydorn of The Torch is going to join me. And they're going to both show from both sides of the coin how they view wrestling, how they view the aesthetic, and how they see it coming and evolving and changing in the future. So with that in mind, it's been a pleasure talking with you all. I want to give you an opportunity to hear about all the great stuff we bring here on the PW Torch, in particular when you go VIP, because for a few bucks, you get an opportunity to see 30 years of wrestling knowledge, history, commentary, and of course, the effervescent, the titular Wade Keller of the PW Torch. Not only his quality content, you have Bruce Mitchell, who is just awesome. I'm going to have a show with him and Cam and maybe Travis, depending on his schedule, coming up soon with Infinity War and tying it to pro wrestling. I'm looking really forward to. So take a listen to this. As always, dive into something new. Challenge yourself to push beyond where you think you can go. And until next week, keep diving.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. No!